Matthew 28, 18, and this is going to be familiar to many of us. Every time I read it, it means a little bit something different. But it says, then Jesus came to them, the disciples, right? And this is like the last thing that Jesus said before he kind of took off, right? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Last words are important, I think, and it should be no different for our Savior. And so when he's like, hey, one final parting thought here, take this and run with it. And here we are 2,000 years later still doing the same thing, right? And so messages like that, I think, are timeless. Many things in this book are timeless, right? Especially that, I take it to heart, and I think everybody that you'll hear from this morning does as well, as evidenced by their actions. Okay, here we go. So, like I said, I'm Mike. We went down to Cuernavaca, Mexico, right? It's about 2-hour drive south of Mexico City, which is about halfway between Mexico City and Guatemala. So we're pretty far south, I guess, as far as the country of Mexico is concerned. Feed My Lambs International exists in more northern Mexico, but they have reaches throughout and missions that they partner with, groups, schools, etc. And so they have fingerprints in lots of different places in lots of different parts of the country of Mexico. Gary Sandman, who is a Amory native, he is kind of the lead guy down there. He and his wife Minnie, they run a compound, I guess, about 4 hours south of Harlingen, Texas. And they, the area as it develops, right? This is not where we were at. This is where Gary and Minnie live. They do a lot of conferences. They do pastoral conferences, youth conferences, community outreach. There's a very large city that's very close to them. There's lots of outreach, lots of proclamation of the gospel. They partner with a few churches in the area, a Bible Institute that is in that large city. So they are very busy. One of the places that we actually got to go to, right, in Cuernavaca, was a children's home. The Milagro de Vida, which is, roughly translates to Miracle of Life, children's home, started about 4 years ago with some groundbreaking, 4 to 5 years ago, I think, with groundbreaking and a piece of land and a prayer and an idea. Here we are 4 years later, our second year, sending a group from this church they currently have capacity. Well, 90 days ago, they had capacity for about 7 kids that they were authorized to house there. And they maintained pretty much a capacity. But there's workers, there's different things that have to go into that by Mexican law. Three years ago, they were like, hey, we're going to have to go. They build vertically, right? So they had the first floor done and then kind of left things to where they could go up. So the second story was on, right? Physically on when we walked in, so we could walk into the second floor and go, oh, okay, here we are. But there was nothing else in there. So like all the rooms, all the doors and closets and electrical and trim and like everything else, right, and drywall and all that stuff had to be done. And so that's what we went down last year, and God blessed our work immensely, and the amount of things that we were able to accomplish in a very short period of time. And for that, I think we all are pretty eternally grateful. And I know Gary is too, and the group that's down there, and they're just amazing people and cooks, by the way, and you'll hear some of that. So anyway, that's kind of the intro into where we're at this year, when Gary in September was like, hey, what do you think about coming back this year? We've already got it planned out. I'm like, okay, here we go, right? So we already had the punch list. This was the finishing touches on the entire property for the kind of the phase where they're at right now. And it would essentially triple their capacity. So be able to go from 7 kids who learn and live and they, yeah, just an introduction into the love of Christ through the workers that are there, from about 7 to about 20 to 25. And that's kind of still on the government to make those decisions as far as their capacity is concerned. But beautiful place, very easy to fall in love with. It's not in a great neighborhood, right? That's just about anywhere you might go, right? You're gonna find some of those places. But even when we got down there this year, what an amazing facility. So, without further ado, that's what kind of we did and why we went down. So we left about 10 p.m. on a Friday night. This year it was an experiment, right? You never know till you try. We're like, hey, well, let's save some money on each ticket times 11, right? So that adds up pretty quick, and it's like, okay, that's more money towards project costs, etc. So we're like, let's drive to Chicago, and then get on a plane, and then fly down to Dallas, and then down to Mexico City, and then get on the bus to go to the depot 2 hours later, and then drive again to the children's home. So when you add all that stuff, it's about 23 hours. Now, as we go back through this, we collectively could have thought a little bit better through it, right? But again, never know till you try. So didn't beat myself up too much about that. But it was ultimately I was the one that I made that decision in a vacuum. So it was a lot of fun. Mostly about the 4 o'clock hour, 3 or 4 o'clock hour. People are like, you know what, this. Maybe we wouldn't repeat this. And that's fine, because everybody knew that once we went down and we worked for, 6 days straight or whatever, that we would have to do the entire thing back in reverse, which we did. So that's kind of our travel. And if you forward one for me, thank you very much. This is kind of from the rooftop as you're looking down into the main courtyard area, the lit sliding glass doors there that kind of shows into the kitchen. The upper level windows are part of, and we actually got to sleep up there this year, the rooms that we built last year, right? And so finishing out, some of the stuff had been continued to go, and so there were beds and rooms and, that kind of thing. So there was some work that continued to progress as we went down. So things that you'll hear about this morning, and then I'm going to hand the mic off, are some of the main areas of focus. There was a lot of trim, right? Trim work, staining of trim and doors, hanging of curtain rods, which sounds, that's a fun Saturday job or whatever, but these are concrete walls, right? And so there's a little bit more that goes into it, like big giant hammer drills and stuff like that. There was a lot of painting and cabinet stains that went in. So, and I'm not gonna ruin some of my remarks for when I actually get to present. But painting and staining of some cabinets, some custom cabinets that will get talked about here for the kitchen. There was a lot of yard beautification that went on because it just kind of looked like a piece of desert, right? There was just stuff all over the place and not a place that you would want to talking with my hands. Not a place that you'd want to turn your 5-year-old loose without any shoes on, but that changed as well. There was a custom-built playground area that was put up, and then quite a bit of concrete that was framed and poured out, not just for water and stuff when it rains, and it does rain in the desert sometimes, but also for people just to be able to utilize, moving back and forth between buildings, and there are a few that are there on the property. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask my eldest daughter, Annalie, to come up and kind of go through some of her thoughts and comments. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Buenos dias. So, let's see here. So, like my dad was saying, 5 years ago, they broke the ground for the Milagro de Vida Children's Home. And since then, they've been working towards the moment where, like, you know, the thing was finally finished. And so this week that we spent there was, it was used to finish that. And it was really cool just to see it to come, I guess, to fruition. And so now it's ready for, like, 20 kids, and which is great. What else? So on the picture on the left is the city of Cuernavaca, and it's huge. So just imagine that, except like 15 times bigger. It's ginormous. And so the Cuernavaca population is around 366,300 people. And what struck me that week was what a light the home will be to the not only like the community, but also those 366,000 people. And the whole week, people were going in and out as workers or like people, young people, older people. They would just go in and out, and it really provided like jobs and just places for people to be discipled. And yeah, and it really sounds wonderful, and it really sounds wonderful to us because it's our purpose, right? This is the purpose that like God has given us to live for. And it's cool. Also on the right is a picture of the Casa de Dios church. And so Casa de Dios means the house of God. And I remember it was on this little dirt road, and so we have to cross it to get over there. And it was small, but you had to look right, you'd have to look left, and then you have to look both ways again because people would just fly down there. But everyone still made it a point to meet there anyway. And the day that we were there, the church was celebrating their 15th anniversary. And it was just really exciting because they had been through a lot. And this was the other part of the trip that struck me, was how God brings people together, even like a lot of different people. And so no one person is the same. Their story isn't the same. And like God still used a bunch of different people to build the Casa de Dios, the Milagro de Vida, the East Lincoln Alliance Church, just a bunch of different stuff. And this is really countercultural because in our culture today, you really only hang out with the people that you have a lot in common with. But that's not the way God works. And so now because of that, we're all working together as a body to make Christ known. And this is really just a testament to how great our God is. But yeah, that was it. Thanks, guys.
All right, so two of our team members that are not here this morning. One was Pastor Randy, and I think he said this was his 11th or 12th trip down south of the border, specifically to work with Feed My Lambs and Gary and Minnie. So he's a fan, and I think it's mostly the food, but he usually does a Sunday morning sermon, right? And so it's him and Mary sitting up, or him and Minnie sitting up there kind of right next to each other, and he has his English Bible out, and she has her Spanish Bible out, and so they kind of, they make a really great tag team, and I'm sure Kathy will get a chance to talk a little bit about some of that too. And Randy wouldn't say this about himself, of course, but he and Rod were able to work at the Randy and Rod pace, and they just crushing it, right? So all the things that we were talking about with a lot of the trimming and the staining and the curtain rods, a lot of detail type work, and But I know that he loves to preach. I know that he loves to preach, especially down there with Minnie, right? And they just, I don't know, they feed off of each other's energy. He also got a chance Sunday morning, so earlier Sunday morning, and we got a chance to join for sure, going to a devotion that they do at a restaurant. And so for the workers there, because they're working on Sunday morning, and so they don't get a chance to go to services or whatever. And so we were able to be a part of that. And then Randy, again, as Annalie was talking about, at the 15-year anniversary for Casa de Dios, was able to preach there. So, and Randy came last year, and like, I don't know, he is an amazing light to have even on a team. And like, you know, there's a difference between, you know, hanging out with somebody and getting to know them, and then working really hard together for an extended duration, right? And some of your personality shortcomings start coming out, and frustrations, and people get tired, and you know, that kind of thing. But if he did, he never showed it, right? I'm sure he slept well at night. But Rod is the same way. Just multiply that, his speed is like 3 or 4 times the average 20-year-old. So and an amazing carpenter, amazing craftsman, and just a terrific mentor, right? Somebody not just from a technical perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, again, like Randy, they were an amazing team there. And I wish they were here to describe to you what how God kind of spoke to their hearts, but I'm sure you can, if you find them in the coming weeks and months, to ask them about that. I think they would really enjoy letting you know all about it. So if we go on. Thanks. All right. So some of my very short comments, because I don't want to be the only one up here talking this morning. So the young lady on the left that I'm holding is Evelyn. Last year I spoke of her. She was our hugger. And the kid just wants love, you know, and didn't speak a lick of English. And my Spanish leaves something to be desired. That language of love, right? That, hey, come here, babe. You know, like, just sit down and hold her, and all she wants to do is snuggle, and she wants that love. And I think somewhere inside of us, we all do, right? But to express it as a 7-year-old, 6-year-old is pretty awesome. And no matter how dirty we were or anything like that, she was the one that was always there to show love and receive love. And so the young lady on the right, also Evelyn. I put these two pictures in here mainly because that piece spoke to me from a legacy perspective, right? Like, not just building walls and not just pouring concrete. All of this is for a purpose. And kids like Evelyn, right, and particularly for Evelyn, that they will have year after year after year of understanding of this, and they're going to remember it, right? So they are going to look at themselves in the mirror 5 years from now and be like, what was that group of white kids doing down for 2 years straight? What did they, like, why would they come all this way, right, and do that? And we were able, I think, pretty effectively to show the love of Jesus without even speaking the language. And I think there's a sermon in there somewhere, Pastor. So, okay, next slide before I start crying. Okay, we did have a little bit of fun, but we actually had a lot of fun. That's just window dressing right there. I put the hooks in there, and Bob and I kind of, and a couple of guys kind of jumped in. Betty had asked, so that's Betty and Chayo, the pastor, the Casa del Dios, so the church that we went to. They also run the children's home, right? They're overall responsible for that. But Betty, who is also Minnie's sister, so there's like, yeah, she asked if we would put some towel racks and some toothbrush holders in there. And I was like, sure, why not? And so we did. We sanded the boards and put the hooks on there. You know, we're just kind of going through the routine of, like, you know, getting the job done, getting them put up there, getting them level and all that stuff. And so we made what we needed and we put it up, and it didn't really occur to me until I'm really studying this picture. And I was like, dude, we turn this house, right, this structure into a home. And that's what it was. It was very, it became very personal. And so the kids have a place to hang their backpacks. They're like, that's my hook, right? That's where I put, that's where my towel goes, and that's where my toothbrush sits. And that's their home. And that, yeah, pretty powerful to me. So I wanted to share that with you guys. Also very powerful. Jeez Louise, give me somebody, find me a Kleenex, Annie, would you? So I start blubbering all over the place. I was asked Thursday night, thanks, brother. I was asked Thursday night if I could give my testimony on Friday morning, and I was like, well, that's a little short notice, but yeah, sure, why not, you know? So I get my phone out, and I'm typing in some little notes and stuff like that, you know, some Bible verse thing, you know, kind of just so I don't, like, now, you know, kind of sound too much like an idiot, and then my thought, you know, my thoughts stay on track, and if you've never given your testimony before, by the way, highly recommend it. Completely out of most everybody's comfort zone, right? To sit up in front of two people or 200 people and be like, hey, this is who I am. This is when I met Christ. And here's all the things that I really messed up before that. And here's things I'm still messing up, but like, here's how Christ has like turned me around, right? So, and we actually did that as a team, which I thought was for the second year now. We shared our testimonies before we left. And that was not only that we could get to know each other, but because it, you have to practice that. It's not something necessarily that comes naturally to people. But all that to say, I got a chance to go. I got a chance to share my testimony, the same restaurant. And so there was, thankfully, there was only like three or four people that were there, and they had seats, you know, seats out and that kind of thing. And so I, of course, left my phone at the house, and so I didn't have any notes. And so it was Minnie and I up there, right, just going. And I was like, Lord, what is going on? Because, like, there's, like, three people here. And, like, we definitely came from different backgrounds, right? He prompted this guy afterwards to come and say, because a lot of my testimony has to do with the Army. I was in the Army for a very long time. And challenges and difficulties, they come with the Army military lifestyle and combat and so on and so forth. And I'm not giving my testimony here this morning, but I did that morning. And, you know, I was like, you know, here's how God takes us and refines us and builds us and breaks us down and, like, and all of this for lots of different reasons, but to bring me where I am right now, today, this second, right? This guy came up to me afterwards, and he was like, hey, I was with the Mexican Special Operations Forces, and so he, through many, we shared a little bit and cried and all that stuff, and but like he was like, your testimony really spoke to me, and I was like, oh, there you go, right? So there's the answer to my question, why God? I got that answer right away. We don't always get that for sure right away, but a lot of times we get a chance to look back and go, oh, there you go. He knew what he was doing the entire time, and so we got a picture of that. So many other things that I want to say, but I'm not going to for the sake of time and sharing experiences of the rest of our team, but just wanted to say thanks. Overall, we sent 27 as a church in a small group. We sent $27,000 down just for project costs. So all travel was taken care of. Project costs, $27,000. So I wanted to say thank you guys, not just for monetary support, but for prayer just encouragement and everything else that came along with that. Truly the body surrounded us, and I applaud you guys for that, and thank you very much. I'm very thankful. Okay, that's it. I'll turn it over to Brother Joe here.
Well, I'm Joe. Don't feel bad if you don't know me. It's not that you've been skipping church or I've been skipping church. It's just a long commute for me. So these guys know me as Farmington Joe. That's where I'm coming from. Down there, I was known as, what was it, Muto? El Muto, one who doesn't speak. so So we're going to get over that today, and Pastor Eric was kind enough to give me the, if anybody needs to use the restroom, he's been kind enough to give me 2 hours to kind of let you guys get to know me and get to know you a little bit, so I'll settle in. So the picture's up there. I have 5 children and an amazing wife who's not. She's taking the picture. That's normally my job, but Katie and I knew Mike through Alaska. We had a Bible study that we did, and I wasn't able to attend, but I saw the foundation that laid for our family. So when we met up with Mike at the coffee shop, and he said, "Hey, I got something coming," man, it was easy for me to say, "Hey, I don't care where, I don't care when, I know Mike's looked into the why, so I'm in." But so pro tip, travel tip is if you want to go to Lake Itasca and see the beginning of the Mississippi River, December is a great time. You'll be the only one there. Parking is available, and you can stand on rocks all you want and pose. I believe there's a sermon there, too, when you're talking about the beginnings of a river and how it meanders through and the things it touches, right? That is a backhoe. So there was some confusion. I grew up in Minnesota, public school education, did some landscaping work, and when we talked about backhoes, they look a lot like that. And we talked about backhoes, and being on the dirt crew, the backhoe never showed up. The backhoe looked a lot like these guys right here, like myself. So I just wanted to make sure if there's any confusion, that's what that looks like. But through that, we did learn, through moving piles of rock here, piles of dirt there, piles of sand there, these guys were connected to the vision. These guys were connected to why we were moving the dirt. They were connected to don't ask why we're moving it again. But they were tied to we are going to get to a conclusion and the people living here are going to benefit from the times we handle this dirt, we move this dirt. I also realized I am not young anymore. I am not no longer in the military. I am no longer an athlete. And I have a desk job. So I really felt God's presence, right, with keeping my body healthy and able to even attempt to keep up with these bulldozers here. It was truly humbling. And the joy that they worked with, I mean, shoveling rock and sand is fun for a little bit, but these guys made it fun for a week, and that's pretty good. The other picture there is a big part of the testimony, I guess, with this is, being in the military, living in 14 different states, our family is no stranger to airports, airplanes, and travel. I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to travel because my wife's usually buying the ticket. She's usually holding my hand through the airport, usually getting me to my seat and those things, and it was me, no big deal. All that stuff's on your cell phone. Unless you have anxiety and your phone is at 97%, but you plug it in before you leave to get that extra 3%. And then you leave it on the counter. So I don't, other than Mike, I don't know any of these folks. I don't have an itinerary. I don't know what we're doing in Dallas. I don't have anything. And so I panicked, like some people would panic. And I panicked, and clearly the voice was, "If I need you there, I'll get you there." Instantly resolved, anxiety gone. Gotcha. But then I was like, but I'm the picture taker, and now I don't have a camera. I don't need pictures. I need you to be present. So we got through it. And I will tell you, I was put before the most amazing customer service folks I've ever met in 48 years of my life. It was incredible. They were helpful. They were all the things that I expected customer service folks not to be in this time and age. They were great. They got me there. But so that picture right there is important because it was a selfie we took when after the 6th gate I went to in Dallas to meet the people coming from Chicago. It was the last flight at that time, and they strolled off the plane. So that was the first time I got to meet these folks. It was the first time I got to tell my wife, "Hey, I made it. I found Mike, and we're on our way." So we got through that. Mike asked me to do a devotion, and we talked through 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so I'm a bit of a crier. But one person sharpens another, and that's what I was really looking forward to meeting these folks, right? I wanted to be with a group that was going to help sharpen who I am as a husband, as a father, as a coworker, as a parent, as all the things. And that's what this group did. It was a week of sharpening, and hopefully, sharpen our eardrums. Hopefully, you know, that was mutual with all of us, and we all learned something. We all to see these guys in the Word when we weren't working, to see them in the Word while we were working, and see them connected to the vision of what Gary has going on down there. And then the stories. I wasn't a part. That was my fault, but I wasn't a part of the pre-meetings or the trip before. They're talking about hauling buckets of cement up and blocks up to the third floor and doing that for a week and building an entire structure by hand. And then they went back. So I'm like, then I started questioning, who am I with, right? But they did. They went back because they're connected to what Gary's doing down there, what God's doing down there. And it was neat to see their excitement on as they looked around the house. Hey, we used to sleep there. Hey, we ate there. Hey, we prayed there. Hey, those weren't even there before. And just to see this, the realization and what it means to the people that are going to be living there and the people that we left that Saturday morning, that they're staying there. They have a spot for their toothbrush and all the other things. But I just want to thank this congregation for the finances, the prayers, and the support, and the people that you have in your congregation. And then and the other piece Mike touched on is testimony. So he had to go do his testimony, and I'm like, man, I've skated through a long time of going to church without having to give my testimony. What does that look like, Mike? And we kind of talked through it, Travis, Mike, and I, and I blabbered on about this and that, military, family, growing up, not in the church, and things like that. And Mike looks at me with that, just that grin and that smile, and like, he knows something I don't know. What is it? And all he was saying was, bro, there's your testimony. And that was just simply talking. So, but thank you for this entire group. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the call, answering the call. Thank you for going down there. It was, hey, I've been sharpened. I appreciate it. Come on up, Andy.
Good morning. So a little about, probably about a year-ish ago after we got back from the first trip, Mike let me know that there were plans about going back and potentially finishing, so I'm like, put me on the list. I'll admit, as we're getting closer to leaving for this trip, knowing the journey down, I was starting to get a little, I don't know, I guess grumpy and pessimistic, mostly about the trip, understanding like we're gonna just be spending a lot of time sitting and traveling, which I don't do well with my back problems. It was definitely a blessing going down that through the long van ride, the flights, the back-breaking work, I was, honestly, other than just soreness of doing all the shoveling, like my back held up stronger than it had than when I'm just here normally, so I'd like to give a lot of thanks for that. But it was seeing what it was last year and coming here back again and seeing like what had happened. They had done a lot of work since we had last been there, and I remember that first night seeing the rooms that we had built and putting up like closets and stuff like that. I got pretty emotional because it had turned from kind of a concrete husk on that second floor to a home for these kids, and just seeing how God was working down there is just absolutely incredible. While we were there, we had a lot of work to do. That overhang there was not there in the backyard last year. They had put that up as well as kind of the concrete floor and stuff. So one of our jobs there was to put up a playset. I suppose I'll preface without trying to steal anybody's thunder. I didn't have a specific job. I was mostly supposed to help with the playground, but otherwise I was more or less just kind of fill in where they need help. If we need to shovel dirt. If we need to shovel that dirt and put it over here again, I would help with that. If I had, if they needed somebody tall to hold up cabinets, I'd do that. So even though I don't have much of a background in construction, I was able to help a little bit. It was, it was really cool to see a group of guys with a bunch of different backgrounds, a bunch of different personalities, be kind of like thrown into the situation where we have limited tools, limited supplies, limited resources, kind of all coming together while a little bit of grinding and sharpening of that steel during the process and frustration and stuff like that, seeing how even with all that conflict and strife and like other complications, like what he was able to do and how we were able, like just be blessed to be able to partake in that. We did concrete work, built the playset. If you want to switch to the next slide. We built a swing set. Like it was, and it's all tested with all of our weight, so it will hold for those kids. That we can guarantee you. But just seeing, like, when you're there beforehand, like, with what little you have, like, how on earth is this going to happen? But if you just put in the work, God will do the rest, and it's really cool to see what happens. So, Josh, if you'd like to continue.
Well, I'm Josh. My big takeaway this year was the people there. I mean, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to go there and do this work, and it's so wonderful how partnering with God and His timing is it's crazy. I mean, Gary was called to Mexico to do this work, and the little seed that started, and how it's spread and grown, and the lives it affects. Like we've already shared, the kids that are there. I've done tons of work over my year, like life, doing construction and working for my own self, trying to make money has always been stressful for me. It's just like, it's the hardest thing, trying to provide, make money, be efficient with my time. And when Mike asks us to do something, it's just partnering with God and people that are knowing they're on the right path, going in the right direction for something good that God wants us to do. It's so easy. It's just like, it's challenging and hard work, but it's incredibly easy just to join God in his mission. So this year I didn't share any pictures of really the work. I was kind of the main lead person on the playground set, even though Andy was kind of my main tall guy. I want to focus more on the people of this trip this year. I don't know why it just hit me more this year. Our dedication and time, like helping Gary and just being present when we were needed, is it's just so powerful. It was just, I don't know why this year was just way more powerful for me this year, just seeing the impact of us being there, head on the kids, just finishing, being able to finish something that was started years ago. I mean, way, way long ago, but when Gary first came down there, I think this vision was already in his mind before, you know, ground even broke. So it's just so powerful. This is just one of the wonderful pictures of us having to travel, talking about traveling. This is Gary's 15-passenger van of all of us mashing in there together. And this is kind of, I don't know why this picture was powerful to me. It's, you can take, you know, tons of people, all different random backgrounds, and mash them into one vehicle for one purpose. And it's tight and awkward and difficult, but it's a blessing. It's wonderful what it does to your spirit and uplifts you, and it's awesome. You can go to the next picture. And similar pictures, the picture up in the lower left is just that's Gary, Minnie, Petra, Child, Betty, and then, and Ime, yeah, she's the sister. Just those four people alone, like their influence on that area, what they do for the church and for those kids, it's encouraging to me to be a better dad, and just like how they love the Lord and how they serve. It's awesome. I mean, I really applaud Gary for what he's done. It's a very hard area to be in, and what he's doing down there is just absolutely wonderful. And then the other pictures of the kids in the center, that's just The kids just absolutely love attention. They love any kind of affection, hugs. The bigger boy in the picture in the center, that's Josue, also Josh. He's 12. He was kind of newerish there. But the rest of the kids were all there last year, all the other kids. So he was newer, so it was super awesome meeting him and connecting with their names are the same. And he was just super cool, just wanted to help and learn, and he was just so curious. It was so awesome. And then Evelyn, the girl on the left, she was just, like Mike shared, she is absolutely just adorable. Loves attention, loves being hugged, and she loves giving hugs. It's just so awesome and so emotional. Just seeing her express love to you, even though she can't communicate with you. Just like, she would just come sit on my lap and hug me for, you know, half an hour at a time. And then this bottom picture was, so the lady came from their church. She was just moved by all of us being down there, and she wanted to come share cake with us. So like literally in the middle of the day, we're just working. And just Gary yells, everyone need to stop. It's important. We need to stop and have cake. So we just all gathered together. But that just us, all of us coming together was so powerful to me. It's just like, that's what God called us to do, to be down there, just to come in together, focused on one mission, doing, you know, all of us being pointed in the same direction on how powerful that is for all of us, just joining God and his purpose of us being there. It's so powerful. It's easier. The first year we went down there, it was difficult thinking about safety and security and timing and how it's all going to work out. And that was a stressor, like kind of like Andy shared, just a stressor thing about traveling and the amount of time we'd be in, you know, on planes and all that stuff. It's difficult. But I just want to thank all of you for the support, the prayer, the money, the donations, the time people spent just putting in the hours, you know, Mike, all of Mike's time he put in, all of the pre-work. It made it so easy just to just go and do it. So I just want to thank all of you for the support, and I just encourage all of you, if you ever have the chance or opportunity to be able to do something like this in your life, just do it. If you have the call, if God calls you to do something, step out of your comfort zone and just do it. It's awesome. So thank you.
Well, I have a script here, so hopefully this will be more timely than what would naturally occur. And I'm already distracted by Ed's pedals. These things are awesome. I have no idea what function they perform. The worship music here is always awesome. I really, really love music. And those things are just functional art that I really appreciate. So, my name in one picture. When I think about what I'm going to talk to you folks about with these trips, I always think, like, they have it all covered. Like, Josh highlighting, you know, the people, the work always gets covered, the generosity of the people that support missions and support this church is just, I could go on and on and on, and I'd still not have enough words to describe how wonderful that is, and what an example it is. So, to the script. I took this kind of reverse selfie, meaning a normal picture, I guess, reverse selfie, of of me up on the roof. And on the roof, where I had spent a lot of time on our first trip a year ago, I was preparing my devotion for the following day. I took a few minutes to pray alone for the children of Milagre de Vida, the ministry, the population of Cuernavaca, and, might sound a little corny, the entire world. I was just moved a little bit in my time up there alone in the dark, thinking about what I wanted to say the following day to the group. The world is dark. I love reading and studying history, and I found it common for most generations to be concerned with the end days. We as Americans spoke of it during our Civil War years and during Reconstruction, while our political leadership stood up the foundations of dividing us and creating animosity to different views and ways of life. During the Great War, the Great Depression, World War II, the Cold War, the climate change scare, the pandemic, the world is always dark. Today, AI, confusion about gender, very dark times. At the core of all of this is a constant, relentless barrage upon the ideals of Christianity. Our founding fathers of the United States pledged to forfeit their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Sacred honor. As Christ followers, we too must offer our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to do our Father's work in the footsteps of Christ. Do away with excuses, sacrifice, and challenge yourself to truly follow Christ. No one knows what opportunities will come their way. Seize what opportunities do come your way and make the most of it. Will you all pray with me? Father, I pray that every bit of our usefulness in me, use every bit of the usefulness in me, and that I am, and everything that I am capable of, to be used in this life to witness, to spread the word, to foster the Christ-like ways and the fruits of the Spirit until the day that I'm called home. So help me, God. Amen. Probably going to get a little emotional, like a couple other guys up here. To everyone who donated funds, those funds were a true blessing. To know the story of the children's home there and all the effort and everything, and then to see the progression is just amazing. I personally want to thank two very special people who donated on my behalf. I love you very much, and I'm very touched by the generosity. The Lord has used two followers of Christ to bear the financial burden, so I could bear a burden of labor and be with the team to ensure our safety is maintained in a dangerous place. So thank you. In regards to emotions, I'm harder than nails. It's kind of boastful, but I like to say that I'm harder than the nails that were hammered into Jesus' hands. So Eric, it's called a battle cry for a reason. It means you're in the fight and you're doing your job. So once again, I just want to thank everybody, everyone, and I truly mean that. I'll highlight Mike, of course, for facilitating all of our travel and being our little mother hen that we can just follow around and everything is taken care of while his gears are constantly turning, and all the while doing everything that we're doing, all the work, all the connecting with the children there and everything. So thanks again for having me. That is all.
Hi, I'm Bob. Thanks. It's good to know I'm among friends. So, picture that I took was, and it's really hard to put this together because you really don't know what God is going to really put on your mind, put on your heart, until after you leave the area, and so you don't know, you know, really what do you take pictures of. It's hard to tell. To the right is the before picture of the backyard, and I grabbed these pictures because they did what they could to show the backyard of the children's home. You'll see there's a big pile of what they call brown dirt, which is fill, which is mostly rocks and trash. You know, I say trash like old tiles and bricks. And so you have to really sift through it, because just sticking a shovel into it isn't really going to pick up anything. Just to the side of the white wall, there's another big pile. We were told there was two dump truck loads, and that's what our job was going to be, was to get in there and level the backyard, pour some concrete and just, you know, move stuff as needed. And so there was a promise of a backhoe, as Joe pointed out, but that didn't happen. And so we were the backhoe. But Pastor Chow doesn't really speak any English. But two words he kept repeating to me was flat and no rock. Pretty important to him what I'm actually, you know, what his intent was for us to get there, because the picture doesn't capture the 4 to 5 foot, I guess it'd be their equivalent of a thistle or cocklebur or sticky, and Betty was very, very concerned of us running all around in our shorts and t-shirts and going over and pulling this stuff out, because we had to clear that out. There was a lot of stuff. It was a construction site. They've been under construction for 5 years, building what they had as their vision and God's plan for them. And so they've been living in a construction site and trying to create a home for children that are displaced along the way, as well as support their community, support their church, because that is such a busy place. The kitchen is constantly not just cooking for us and the children, but for other events in the community, and it's just a nonstop flurry of activity. The gate opens and closes. You think about the average person, how many times your cell phone rings. That was the doorbell, the little actual bell that people would ring as they're coming up to the gate outside and coming in and out. It was just insane. And all along, during all this busyness, you'd hear this laughter of kids. And the kids were being kids. They were playing in this construction site, in amongst the cockleburs, in amongst the rocks and the concrete and the rough stuff. So now, and I know that this would have been better if I got to follow the cabinet makers, because the cabinet makers were the ones that believed they were touched by Betty, that building the cabinets in the kitchen was the most important task that God had for them. And so if they needed the drill you were using, they took it out of your hands because they had important holes to drill. I mean, that's what cabinet makers do. So anyways, and so they were saying, don't make me get Betty, because, you know, we got to get these cabinets done. And those, and Dale and Travis did an absolutely stunning job. You'll see pictures of the cabinets. They did a beautiful job. Although Betty's only this tall, she can only reach that first shelf. But anyways, besides that, so there was. It hit me later on, probably more than I realized, that as we've mentioned, there was a lot of shovel work. There was a lot of moving this dirt to that. There was three different grades that changed on the backyard in order to make sure that it flowed right. And so it was a lot of backbreaking day after day after day of shoveling rock, picking out debris, raking it out, pickaxing to pop up the rocks to get them out of there so we could get it clear of the rock. And this crew just killed it. They did a much better job than any backhoe could do. And it's a beautiful backyard. Also, building the swing set, building the play set, the center for the kids, all the cabinets, all the painting, all the curtains, so you could actually block the sun from coming up when you're trying to sleep, or the streetlights. It was absolutely amazing at how much work was done. But I had a moment with Betty. It was Friday. I was cleaning up my tools because we had a central tool dump where I was picking them up, and all of a sudden I noticed Betty, and she had this massive smile as she's standing there looking at the backyard and looking at this play area. Massive smile with tears streaming down her face, because we not only were doing, we were making the vision that she had for a children's home. Ime, Minnie, and Betty all grew up in a children's home. There's a lot of different reasons in Mexico. It's not like they're all orphans, because that's not the case. But there's a lot of different reasons that kids are in children's homes. But building a place that kids could actually play, they were playing in a construction site. They have a backyard because it's all seeded down with grass seed. It's flat. It's free of rock. It's free of construction debris, rebar, all of the other stuff that we've moved not only once, at least three times, every single thing we touched. And it was at that point that we saw, you know, the impact of what this was, because they know what it's like to live and be and raised in a structure, in a children's home. But to actually have a house, a family, the love, and to have a little bit of grass, because you saw in the pictures of the restaurant that had that little bit of grass. It's so rare down there. And there's a park right outside the alley, across the alley from where they're at. It's all dirt. It's dirt everywhere. To have grass, to have a place to play, to laugh, and to be kids. And we couldn't keep the kids off of the playsets while we're trying to work on them. It was very challenging when we left them in kind of some somewhat dangerous situations. But anyways, all I can say is that if God called us to go back down and support that mission, and they looked, and Gary looked at us and says, "Here we go, boys. We're going to tear all this concrete structure down with our bare hands. You know, sign me up. I'll go." Because you know what? It's not about it. It makes it all... they can get more work out of me than anyone else. I don't know why it is, but... And it's every day, and I'm exhausted and dirty and filthy. But the thing is, you can feel your heart just growing with God's love, and you know what? I'll do it. Because the love that they show, it also imparts. There's people coming to Jesus, accepting Christ's salvation. Not just the kids that are there, but the other people in the community that see that these gringos are willing to come down from snow and cold and ice. What is that all about? To come down here and help us, because they love and they care for the Lord, and they also care for each other, and they care for what's going on down here. So thank you for your funds. Thank you for your willingness. Mike, thank you, man. You are a rock star in terms of putting things together and getting a bunch of unwilling people to go in a straight line. So you did a nice job. So, but thank you all, and I appreciate it.
Well, Travis and I worked on the kitchen, and no, I didn't move any dirt, and no, I didn't run a shovel, and I'm grateful for that. Travis would love to be here. His family's down at a wrestling tournament with his daughter right now, and Travis had gone down there and said, well, he'd like to learn how to build cabinets. I knew we were going down there to build cabinets. Gary had called me probably a week beforehand, and Mike had talked to me about it, so I kind of had an idea what was going to happen. And I said, well, yeah, Travis wants to learn. I said, this, knowing how much square footage of cabinets I had an idea we were building, I said, I don't know if I can do that myself in a week. But with Travis's help, he's a very, very competent carpenter, made it a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs with these guys, even though these guys did a bunch of work and I stayed in the shade. Travis and I made it a point of not going in the sun. Anything we did was in the shade. I admit to that. but we built them a kitchen. So I'm sure it'd be fun to listen to Travis. Travis gave a devotion one morning. Devotions for breakfast are a real highlight. It was thrown out there that whoever wants to give one is willing to give one. And there's no criteria. There's no time length. And so it's really fun to hear what God puts on other people's hearts. A big thing is the iron sharpens iron. Sparks and spurs is what we laughed about, of how we could rub shoulders with each other and get things done like we did. All right, my slide. I should have another one up there now with me. My name is Dale. For those of you that don't know, I am a carpenter. I've been a carpenter for almost 30 years. I've built things from the XL Energy Center to a garage. There's not much I haven't done. Talking to Pastor Child, which is a real treat, he always called me the maestro, a master carpenter. Mike Rowe, if you're familiar with Dirty Jobs, said there's two carpenters in the world. There's the one that finds himself as being kind of a low-grade, second person, kind of a just a bum. And then there's the one that's a craftsman. And I find myself to be, I'm the craftsman. I'm proud of what I do. My mind and my hands work well together. God has gifted me in this kind of an area. So to go in there and do this, it was a real treat to say that I am an international cabinet builder. I've built cabinets in Mexico and the United States. We did the kitchen on the side. I can say that the cabinet on the left that you see, that is the biggest cabinet I've ever built in my life. That thing is 6 feet wide and 8 feet tall. I went in there to build these, and Gary said, well, he called me and he said, well, I'm getting plywood from Texas because we can get better material. All right, so what do you need? Whoa, how much am I building, Gary? This is my second year down there. I had an idea what size the kitchen was. He says, well, we want to put a big pantry in here. We want to put a cabinet next to the sink, another cabinet over here, and then there's going to be one against the wall. Okay. I suppose a dozen sheets of plywood and a dozen 1x4s. So that's what we had. We had a pile of plywood, a pile of 1x4s, a skill saw, a beat-up table saw, a miter box that's been used to cut rebar that was all melted, and here you go. So the Wednesday, Thursday before we left, I stood in my shop and I said, whew, all right, Lord, you got to tell me what to bring, because if I'm going down to build cabinets, what can I stuff into a suitcase? How do I keep it under 50 pounds, and how do I get it there? So I picked up, we were 3 screws short of all the face frame screws we needed. The week before we left, I tore out a kitchen north of Amory, and I stole all the hinges off all the doors because they were in good shape. There they are in Mexico. We had enough to do the entire kitchen. Shelf pegs, I took down shelf pegs so we could have adjustable shelf pegs, part of our drilling holes. I think I was 3 short. We had to cut a 16-penny nail to make a couple of little pegs to finish that up. So it was fun to be able to have what we needed when we got there to give these people a modern kitchen, which is not something that they're, by all means, accustomed to. Betty was so excited about that that she had to show Kathy, and Kathy took a picture of the things she had started to fill the pantry. The amount of storage space in there is just incredible. And that kitchen is a bustling place. That's the hub of activity. Unbelievable how much stuff goes on. I got to see that being in there all the time and taking over the space. Yeah, so it was fun. The picture on the left there is the one that got me. So I've been in probably 4,000 kitchens in my life because that's what I do. Everybody in here has got a clock in their kitchen. It's on the microwave. It's on the stove. It's a decorative thing. That's the day we got there. It's 10 minutes to 2. When we left, it was still 10 minutes to 2. So I had these mock conversations going through my head with Mike that said, Mike is asking, okay, I want you to get up there and give some kind of a speech about, you know, what moved you, what kind of a deal did it, how did it change you? Well, nothing changed me. I went to work in Mexico. I just built cabinets. But that clock got me. These people just roll with stuff. They don't care what time it is. We had a lot of fun with that because the carpenters usually got busy. The cabinet guys got busy about 2 o'clock. So that's it. But here it is, 10 to 2, and they don't care. The clock is in a prominent location right there next to the sink. And it never changed. It never moved. It was there for 3 days before we took it off the wall and set it on the counter so we could hang cabinets. When it came time to leave, I hung it back up on the wall in another spot, still said the same time. But these people just deal with stuff. It's just amazing what they'll put up with. Travis and I walked down the road one day, the dirt trail that's the highway. Unbelievable. I've got trails on my property that aren't as rough as their roads that they're driving their cars on. And it was fascinating to see what these people deal with. So for us to go down there and build this playground set that Josh knocked it out of the park with, to give them a swing set, to give them a backyard, to give them grass, to give them a kitchen, to give them this house. It's incredible. And this is Gary's vision. How Gary, it blows me away to think about how Gary does this. He goes down there, his vision is incredible. And he just goes. Gary's running 110 miles an hour all the time. He never slows down. We got towards the end of this project, and you could see stress on Gary's face. It's like, you know, what's going on? It's We're getting this thing done. Oh, it's the next group. It's the next eight people that are coming to my next facility. It's the 500 feet of sidewalk I got to get done at my next facility. And this is 18 years into his ministry. It is just incredible how this guy just goes. He is just a rock star. So it was really fun to go second year to go down and see this house and put some finishing touches on it. It was really exciting. And yes, Mike, you make this traveling thing easy. I've done enough of the airport thing. I hate it. You make it fun. Mother Hen leads the way, takes the chicks. We just follow along, do what we're told. It's really exciting, so thank you.
So if Mike is the mother hen, Travis is the rear guard. He's always watching over us, staying back, making sure we're all safe. So it was so fun, and I fell in love with my brothers. At one point, Gary asked me, Kathy, what's your favorite part? And the first thing that came to mind was devotions. It was just so rich. Part of the reason is this is my very first time out of the country, and I found myself angry with the language barrier. And I don't get angry very easy, but my heart is to sit across the table from someone and ask questions and learn about their heart and then sow life into their heart. And I couldn't do this. So when I was speaking to the ladies at the church on Wednesday, I gave them a message. One of the things Minnie had to translate for me is, I'm so glad I have a smile. And literally my face hurt every day because all you can do is smile. I remembered a couple things from my 1 year of Spanish in seventh grade. You know, buenos dias, muy gracias. but this was so rich, and I don't even know how to, you know, distill down the life and the joy and the wonder and the amazement of God on this trip. But that picture right there on the left is our first day. I was grateful our first day was Sabbath. So instead of going to work the first day, we got to see the culture, take a van ride. So even though I was going out to work, I got to see, the Lord knows how much I love to learn and take pictures and see beauty. And so we got to go to this restaurant for the devotion in the morning, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, that is a beautiful picture of Pastor Randy. I know his heart was, you know, help me, Jesus, to communicate with these people. And there's Minnie working on his notes, getting ready. And when God made Eve for Adam, he said he needs a helper. And that word helper is ezer in the Hebrew. And it's the same word used for the Holy Spirit in other parts of Scripture. And so that means a strong helper. And I thought that is a picture of Minnie right there. She's helping to translate what Randy can't communicate to the Mexican people. So she's acting like the Holy Spirit who translates God's heart to us. There's a lot of people who know Scripture and read Scripture, but they don't get it. You know, like the Pharisees, they didn't get it. But those of us who are born again and have the Spirit can understand what God is saying to our hearts. So I just think that's such a beautiful picture. Also, Minnie gets exhausted. She's the only one. Anna Lee could do it. And I thanked God so many times. I'd be like, Anna Lee, what's that word? But communication was so hard. And when I spoke on Wednesday, Minnie had a terrible headache. And I could just see the weariness on her. And knowing that I say things like, it made me feel like shriveling like the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz. And so if I write, I felt like shriveling in my notes, how does Minnie translate that into Mexican? And she's got to restructure sentences. It is a huge work that Minnie does, and so I was really grateful for her. When I got back, I read in the devotion Mary Olson gave me a long time ago, the old, old streams in the desert. This word, and it really struck me. Launch out into the deep, Luke 5:6. Into the deep of the Holy Spirit until he becomes a bright, marvelous answer to prayer, the most careful and tender guidance, the most thoughtful anticipation of our needs, the most accurate and supernatural shaping of our events. when we got there, they said, Dale, you and Kathy get this room. And I called it the suite. I was surprised. So because we're married, one of the daughters gave up their room. She's a single mom with two boys. And the room is, you walk in and there's, I think maybe queen-size bed. Then you go through a doorway like that one into another room that had just a dresser and an office chair. And then you walk through a doorless bathroom, a little tiny bathroom. You sit on the toilet. You can touch the shower and the wall with your elbows. No toilet seat. Didn't know how to do that at first, but I just sat on it. The church doesn't have toilet seats. It was an interesting experience, but I was so grateful. I had brought my book light, and the Lord knows that the main thing in my life is spending that time with Him in the morning. Like, how am I going to get that time? I didn't know what it was going to be like, but we had this place with an extra room with an office chair. It was a rolling chair with a high back, and so I put my blanket on there. It was 60 degrees in the morning, and I had an east-facing window, and so I sat with my book light while Dale's still sleeping, reading the scriptures, journaling, watching for that sun to come up. And so I read that most thoughtful anticipation of our needs. So I'm going where I don't know what it's going to be like, and He gave me that gift. So in that picture, that's not me speaking. How do you say her name? Ime. Ime is the worship leader at the event, and she had me lead the ladies in a song in English. And it was, He has made me glad, I think, something like that. And so it was so fascinating and such a blessing because they didn't get my language when I was trying to teach them. And so I felt like such a schmuck sometimes when I couldn't communicate. And then to see them have a hard time grasping the language I was trying to teach them was just an interesting dynamic, and it comforted me. So that was another thoughtful anticipation of my needs. And then this is outside that restaurant that we went to. And one thing I noticed so much is contrast. So we're driving down the streets. There's metal doors. There's no windows. There's barbed wire on the tops of the walls. There's rebar with glass bottles because they're fearful of crime. They have a corrupt government. Their streets are chaos. And when we flew home and I looked out the window over America and saw our streets and knew that we were coming back into something that was so much more orderly, I felt relief. I could flush my toilet paper. I didn't have to put it in the wastebasket or dig it out when I forgot and dropped it. So we have it so good here, but there's such contrast here too. Dell talked about the darkness, but we have the light. You know, we have the joy of Christ and the hope of Christ. And so it was just so beautiful at that restaurant, even after all the bumpy roads and the barbed wire and all of that.